Take your Bibles, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. We're going to read verses 7 and 8 together. I'll read verse 7. You join me on verse 8. Ecclesiastes 8, verses 7 and 8. For he knoweth not that which shall be, for who can tell him when it shall be? There is no man that hath power over the spirit to retain the spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death, and there is no discharge in that war, neither shall wickedness deliver those that are given to it. And let's pray. Lord, you've been so good to us, and we stand before you needy. We're sinful flesh. And God, all of us need this truth tonight. Lord, get to preach to your people, but I really believe I'm just preaching to myself. Lord, we've all got to have something from you to make it another week. Lord, there are people that will face tragedy, face heartache, face difficulties this week. I pray that you'd help us. Teach us a truth that will transform our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight, I want to give you a truth that I really believe will perpetuate your Christian life. I'll be honest with you, I've been in church my whole life. I've been preaching for well over 30 years. This July 31st, it will be 33 years I will have been preaching. I've watched a lot of people come and go. I've watched a lot of people come to church and leave church and no longer darken the door of a church. I've watched a lot of things happen. I think if you'll get the truth of the evening, you can keep from becoming one of those people. Those of you that were in the military, if I went around the room, I could ask a question and I could probably get a response just that quick from this one question. What was your discharge date? Say why? Because once you got in, you couldn't wait till that last day, amen? Kind of like your retirement date. You can tell me what was your last day of work, you know, when you burned your boots in the shop, amen? You just kind of look forward to that end. Get a guy, I just think it's funny. I hear these teenage boys all the time, man, I'm going to get my freedom. I'm going to go join the army. Yeah, right. I'm going to show my mom and dad what kind of man I am. I'm going to be free. You don't know what you're talking about. I realize that once you get in, let's say, to the military, you might know what your end date is. Knowing what your end date is, guess what? Doesn't change what you're supposed to do. You still got watch, still have duty, still have your job that needs done. You're still getting up doing PT every day. Doesn't matter what your last day is, you're going to do it even your last day. Say why? Because it's your job and you're there till you're gone. Now, it might be your last day, but by the way, that's a good thing to do in life anyway. If you're getting ready to change jobs, you better work as hard your last day as you did your first day. Amen. When you get saved, you enter God's army. It's not a volunteer thing, just so you know. When you got saved, there is really no choice. You ended up getting into a battle. That battle is the flesh versus the spirit. When you got saved, you signed up into God's army. Whether you knew it or not, you're enlisted. You have to understand something. The Bible says here in Ecclesiastes 8:8, there is no discharge in that war. Did you catch that? That means once you get in, you can't get out. Folks, the reason you can't get out is because salvation is eternal. And I will say this, you're either fighting for God or you're not. And you're fighting for the devil. Now, we all get tired in the battle. We all get tired of battles. By the way, part of that in America is due to our press. It's amazing to me that the President of the United States doesn't know what's going on in Benghazi, but we got film crews there watching it all happen. Think through that one. We've got news crews there watching it all take place, but The commander-in-chief doesn't know what's going on? Hello. Now, I say that not to criticize our president. I say that because America, you know, the president said this week, well, the war on terror is over. Tell Israel that. Tell the people in Boston that. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The war's not over. I wish they would go back to the press conference when President Bush, after 9/11, came out and said, folks, we are entering into a war, and this is not a direct quote, but it's very close. He said, this war will never be over. It will take the rest of our lives and the rest of your children's lives if we even win it. It will be a battle that pops up all over the place because we're dealing with terrorists, not a known army. It is a different kind of war, and we will never totally be done fighting it. I wish they would go back and play that. He told us up front what it would be. But we all get tired. We get tired of all the duties of war. Here's the problem. If you stop fighting, you become a POW, a prisoner of war. There are Christians in this room that you have become a POW to the devil. If you'll listen to me, I think I can help you. During World War II, there was a Japanese prisoner of war camp in a place called Camp Kambwanatan. It was one of the most cruel places many of our and thousands of our soldiers went through. The Japanese were ruthless people. I could not even in mixed company begin to tell you everything that the Japanese people did. It is so vile, so wicked, so incredibly cruel. They made Hitler look like a kindergartner. People are still upset that we dropped 2 nuclear bombs and destroyed hundreds of thousands of people, but it was the only way to bring the Japanese Empire to her knees. You don't understand, they took biological bombs. They would take bombs with diseases and go into huge cities in China and drop these biological bombs on people. Then their army would march in with special suits on. They would just walk in. They would take people and cut their bodies open while they're still alive to see the effects of the biologics on these bodies as they died alive. They would take them in different stages and rip their insides open and not give them any anesthetic, just hold them down and rip them open. They would take people and put them in special rooms and put their arm into a freezer at a certain temperature and see how long it would take till that arm literally froze solid while the person was still alive. And they would go body part by body part on that human till they died to see how much torture the human body could withstand. Those are the only things I can tell you in public. It was vile. Camp Kambwanatan, the average weight of the American soldiers that were recovered in Camp Kambwanatan was under 100 pounds. These soldiers were nearly starved to death, used as slave labor. The soldiers were so hungry that as they would sleep at night, the rats would come and nibble on their toenails and their feet. They were so hungry that they had a code that when a rat started chewing on their feet, they would whistle or make the code and somebody would grab a board. While that rat was gnawing on that person's toe, they would whack that rat in the head and they would keep it and use it for food the next day. It just became part of life to them. They would have air raids, and the American soldiers would be flying overhead. They had like baseball dugouts dug there for bomb shelters. And one day, the Japanese had them all run in there. While they did that, they closed the ends of that thing off, doused it with about 300 gallons of airplane fuel and lit the thing on fire with our soldiers in there just to watch them die and burn. That's what the Japanese did for fun. Now, folks, if you're not careful, you'll become a POW of the devil. He'll play with you the same way. Many Christians have been captured by the devil and now live as a POW spiritually. Let me say this, but you're still a soldier. You're still a soldier. Those men that were in our POW camps were still American soldiers. They still, even though they were captured, they still had a duty that needed done. Doesn't mean they have been, it means they've been taken out of the battle, but they're still enlisted to fight. The trouble is, they're being used by the enemy and not by the right force. The spiritual battle is really just a little different. For those soldiers that were released from Camp Kibwanaton and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of others just like it, when they were released, those men were taken care of and the battle was over for them. But I'm here to tell you there's no discharge in a spiritual war. Folks, the only discharge you have is heaven. That's it. Some of you say, well, I'm just so tired of the spiritual battle. It's not ever going to end till you get to glory. Say why? Because you're a sinner and so is everybody else. And you're going to have a spiritual battle. And there is no discharge in this war. Whether you like me or not, I would like you to like me. That's not the issue. But there's one thing about me, and I don't mean this in an arrogant way. I'll borrow a term from my dear friend, Brother Owens. One day he said, Brother Bush, you are a survivor. He said, I have seen you in so many different battles, and you just seem to survive. I hate to tell you this, but I'm a survivor. I'm not one of those people that's going to roll over and die. Now, I've not been in war. I've not been a POW, but I think if I were, I would have been one that was made it all the way through. I just got it in me to survive. I got one more get up than the devil's got knocked down. I tell people this all the time. I can outlast anybody. I'm more stubborn than you are. I don't care who you are. I'll be there when everybody else isn't. I'm just a little bit made that way. I don't know why, but I am. But I do know this. I've been able to survive. I've been a survivor for a long time. I don't relish the thoughts of cancer. And it may take me someday, but I'm going to survive it as long as I can. Amen? I don't relish the thoughts of some other disease, but I promise you one thing. If I've got one, I'm not going to let it hold me down. I don't relish the thoughts of the pain that goes with many of the things we face in life, but I promise you this, I'm going to make it because I'm going to survive. I want to teach you a little bit on how to be a survivor. I want to read a passage of scripture to you. You need not turn there, but Romans chapter 8, verses 37 through 39. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors. That is a statement of battle. And folks, you are enlisted in God's army, like it or lump it. You might as well decide to fight. If not, you're going to be a POW. My father-in-law was with us this last week. My father-in-law was a POW in the Vietnam War. He and I were together a little bit this week and we talked. I knew what I was preaching this week. They put my father-in-law for about 4 weeks. He lived in I call it a rabbit cage. It was a 3-foot by 3-foot by 3-foot cage, and that's what they put about. They had three rows of them on top of each other. And that's what they lived in while he was in Vietnam. Some of the most cruel, unjust torture and punishment. things that still to this day give him nightmares. But he survived. I know I joke and tease about him sometimes, but he was a survivor. Let me give you five or six things here, and I'll be very brief. Number one, survivors look ahead to see potential battles. Can I tell you how you survive? Look ahead. Amen. Look ahead. Some of you just take one step at a time, and I realize there comes times in the heat of the battle where you have to. But some of you are like a stick floating down the river, and whatever happens, you just kind of go with it, you know? God bless you. I'm looking down the road. I'm steps and steps and steps and steps ahead. I know what's taking place tomorrow, but I also know what's going on next week. I know what's going on the week after that. I've got months planned. I'm working on fall program already. I'm working on spring program next year already. I'm working on the next couple Sunday school classes we're going to start. Amen. I'm working on all those things. Say why? I'm looking ahead. I'm planning out. I'm charting out my next battle. Now, there might be a skirmish come up between here and there, but I'm planning what battle I'm fighting next. I'm not letting it happen to me. I'm a little bit like Patton. I'm not going to let the battle come my way. I'm going its way. Don't just float through life. Some of you are like that dead stick going down river. Can I tell you something? Some of you get out of schedule. And because you don't plan. I talked about that this morning. Hey, you young people that just graduated, what's next? What's next? You plan the rest of your life. Plan your work and work your plan. Maybe it's you got people coming to your home. Plan it. Maybe you've got vacation coming. Plan it. We talked about schedule and planning this morning. Can I tell you something? To survive, you must plan. You watch a young person get in trouble, and I'll show you somebody that has no plans. I mean that. They have no plans. I watch young people turn to drugs. I watch them turn to alcohol. I watch them turn to immorality. And virtually every one of them, they just lose their plan for life. They allow everything else to influence them, and they don't work their plan. And that's what happens. Number two, survivors prepare by spending extra time with God. Amen. Survivors prepare by spending extra time with God. Let me ask you a question. How's your walk with God? Then tell me how the battle's going. Folks, I don't mean this the wrong way, but when you're in the ministry, the battle never stops. If I showed you the text messages and phone calls just of the last 7 days, most of you would go crazy. I don't mean that unkindly, but tragedy after tragedy, after heartache, after broken heart, after problem, it's enough if you're not careful, it'll get you down. Say, what do you do, Brother Bush? I spend extra time with God. I foresee it. Mrs. Hawkins, when Brother Hawkins had that stroke on that Sunday morning, you didn't need a preacher that said, well, give me 24 hours to spend some time with God and we'll figure out what we're going to do. I had to be ready for it. So many of you wait till you're in the middle of the battle to try to prepare for the battle. Why don't you store it up? Some of you run away from God when the problem comes instead of run to him. Some of you need to run to him before the battle gets here. By the way, isn't that what a soldier does? He prepares with PT every day, not knowing what he's going to face. That way he's in shape for when the time comes, he's ready for it. You guys that went through the military, you had to tear your rifle apart and put it back together and tear it apart, put it back together, tear it apart, put it back together, tear it apart, put it back together every day. You say, why? That way when you were under heavy fire, you didn't have to think about it. You knew how to tear it apart, put it back together, make it work, and find out how that thing worked in there so that you could modify it if you had to. You knew exactly what was going to take place. Say why? That was that conditioning to get you ready for when the battle did come. Can I tell you something? Some of you don't read your Bible, you don't pray, you don't do what you're supposed to do on a regular basis, and that's why you're a POW. General George S. Patton Jr. gets a bad rap. Hollywood has turned him into something he was not. I'm not saying he was a Sunday school boy. But I will say this, if you've read enough of George Patton, you'll find out I really believe he was a saved man. Amen. And I believe he was a spiritual man. George Patton refused to go into battle unless he had spent 3 hours on his knees before his God. Just so you know. By the way, all this garbage about he believed in reincarnation that came in the 60s with Hollywood, it did not happen. George Patton Jr., he had dyslexia. They kicked him out of school in third grade. They said he was addle-brained, said he couldn't learn. His mom and his aunt trained him at home. He was homeschooled, and they gave him two books, the Bible and Shakespeare. He knew more Bible than most preachers know today. By the way, it wasn't the NASV or the NIV or the HIV or any other version. Now, sometimes he talked about God in a way I wouldn't. He didn't use his name always in public the way I would. But I'll tell you one thing, there was a man that knew how to battle. He believed God made him to fight, and guess what? I believe he was right. Why do you want to fight the devil in your strength? Can I tell you something? You are no match for the devil. I spent how many weeks teaching on the devil? And I said at the very onset, you are not strong enough to do battle with him. He's one of the four most powerful creatures of the universe, and you are no match for him. None. Why would you want to fight him in your own power? Some of you wonder why you feel like a POW, but you don't have God's power on your life. It's hard to let the bullets fly over your head and spend time with God. I'll go back to Patton. Patton used to practice not flinching in battle. You see that pose of Patton. He called it his soldier pose. That look. He used to practice it 5 minutes a day in the mirror. That was a put on. That was his front face. He wasn't that way. He was a kind, gentle man behind the scenes. A funny man. Hilarious. People loved to be around him. Patton used to practice walking on the firing range with live bullets. And he would walk between the targets while the men were shooting so that he wouldn't flinch as the bullets went past his head in battle. Say why? Because he wanted his troops to understand he could hear how close they were and everything was okay. Don't duck. You're okay. Don't work in fear. They're whizzing by. It's okay. Now, when he ducked, it's time to get out of there. Amen. By the way, it's not the ones you hear. It's the ones you don't hear that get you. You understood if you heard the bullet, it was already past your ear. You're okay. And he understood that. You see, so many of you, when the bullets are whizzing by, You don't know what to do. You get panicky and you don't spend time with God. It's hard to let those bullets fly over your head. Number next. Survivors organize in advance so that they can think under fire. Boy, that is a good statement. Survivors prepare and organize in advance so they can think under fire. Anybody that's been in any battle of any kind, whether it be a baseball game, a football game, whether it be war or anything else, you know every once in a while what you planned didn't come out right. And you got to think under fire. But you plan for all those things. Do you realize that the best of our generals would sit down in organizational rooms, and if everybody agreed that that was the best plan 100%, they wouldn't use it? Say why? Because somebody wasn't thinking what could go wrong. Your best general said, I don't need yes men. By the way, deacons, I don't need yes men. Now, I don't need war, but I don't need yes men. I need you to give me true opinions. I need you telling us what you see so that we don't make bad decisions. I don't need you telling me in front of 150 people, but one-on-one when we're in the office with in deacons meetings, I need you telling me the truth. I don't want a yes man. Say, what is that? That's a puppet. That gives me a bad name. I don't need that. I need true input. That's why we chose you. Now listen to me very carefully. You need to plan in advance so that you don't get under fire and can't handle it. You wait till the news comes, it's cancer, and then you got to make a decision. Some of you need to start planning in advance how to handle tragedy. And please listen to me. Some of you need to plan in advance for bad things to happen. As my two of the three of my grandparents that passed away, we knew they were passing. I preached two of my grandparents' funerals. Do you know what? I had basically all of their funeral sermons prepared before they passed away. I got a 95-year-old grandma. If I go into my files right now, I can pull her sermon. I can pull my file on her sermon. So all I got to do is outline it. It's already. Say why? Because when she passes away, I plan on grieving a little bit. I'm not waiting till then. Now, I haven't worked on my mom and dad's, amen? Say why? That's too far down the road. I'm planning in advance, all right? But may I say this, organize in advance. Don't wait to plan to get things done. Set your deadlines well in advance. Mrs. Barnes knows this is true. If I have something that's due tomorrow, it was done, hopefully, as much as a week ago. Say why? Because if perchance something happens, I got enough time to get it done. Some of you at work wait till the day it's done before you do it, and then you wonder why the boss isn't happy when you didn't get it done because something happened. You know, I don't think anybody has a boss here that would be upset if you got it done early. Why don't you make your deadline before the deadline? That way you're always done early. That's how I get things done. You know, I don't wait till Sunday morning and Sunday afternoon to write my sermons. I'm not in my office 5 minutes before church. Oh, I got to finish. I got to hurry. No, I'm ready. I set my deadlines well in advance. I know what the next 5 or 6 Wednesday night Bible studies are, have them virtually done. All I got to do is finalize the outlines. They're already outlined, everything to go. I just don't have them in what I would call preach form yet. But they're ready. Do you know I already know one of the things I'm preaching next Sunday? And I have dozens and dozens and dozens of sermons ready. I already know where I'm going. Organize in advance. Let real emergencies happen. By the way, don't create emergencies by your waiting to plan. Everybody listen to this statement. For some of you, all of life is an emergency because you don't plan anything. Oh, I just have so many emergencies. I've got this emergency and I've got that emergency. If you'd start planning your life, you'd have fewer emergencies. Let me put it in parenting terms. Parents, if you watch your kids, plan what they do, plan how they do it, they're not going to walk out in the street and get hit by a car and you have an emergency. Now, I realize kids are going to get hurt, trust me. If they don't have stitches or a broken bone by the time they're 5, something's wrong, amen? I used to say my kids are going to have stitches before they're 3. All 3 of them did, amen? They take after their father, that's why. But I made sure, you know, if they didn't get it, I busted them in the lip and gave it to them anyway. That is not true. My wife did it, not me. Can I tell you something? Some of you live so frazzled because everything in life is an emergency. I found this is true. If you wait 24 hours, the emergency usually passes, even if you don't do anything. Y'all doing okay? Next. survivors set their eyes on the purpose. Don't get stuck in a silly skirmish. Patton realized that Berlin was the end result. He didn't let anything stop him along the way. Now, did he fight along the way? You better believe it, but he didn't stop in the process. He wasn't stopping until he crossed the Rhine River and got into Berlin, amen? Whether he was supposed to or not. He was a steamroller. He said, I use steamroller tactics. Mow them down. Don't slow down, just keep on going. One of my favorite stories, they were bogged down in the mud, and they were crossing a river, and they were on a bridge, and everything was stopped. He drove in his Jeep all the way to the front, got up, and he said, what in the world is slowing things down? That was paraphrased, because I would not say that in church. He found out that one of the locals had two donkeys that sat down on the bridge, and they couldn't get them up. He took out his pistols and went, kapow, kapow. And they threw the donkeys off, and he said, I'm not going to let a bunch of donkeys stop my men from fighting. And the guy just standing there like, good night, what was that? By the way, Patton reached in his pocket and pulled out the money for the guy to buy more donkeys. He said, I don't think he should have done that. Yeah, he would have been thrown in jail for cruelty to animals. But guess what? He helped us win the battle. Don't let attacks become your war. Look at the end result. Do you realize getting people saved is the end result? Do you realize that helping people get their lives changed is the end result? So many times you let what somebody says, they gossip about you. They say something mean about you. Oh, somebody looked at you the wrong way. Somebody didn't say hello to you. Well, hello, how are you today? All those things. Folks, we get so many little skirmishes that take place and, oh, life's so bad. You know what? People have been saying bad things about people for a long time. Why does it need to stop you? Has nobody ever said anything bad about you before in your life? Why is it such a tragedy? Why is it, look this way, why is it that when somebody starts a little battle, that all of life has to stop and you focus on that? Folks, if they say something bad about me, at least they're not bothering you. It don't bother me. You know what? They've been saying bad things about me for a long time. By the way, some of it's even true. Not much of it, but probably some of it is. I could give them a list of sin. No lie, about 3 or 4 months ago, I was at a store and some of my enemies were there and they saw me and I heard them saying something. They didn't know I heard them talking. They were saying, well, do you know what he did? I walked up behind them. I pulled out a 3x5 card and handed it to them. I said, you want to know what kind of person I am? Here's the card. I'll write it down. I'll give you the list. I know better than you do what I've done. They walked away. Say why? I know my sins better than anybody. I'm the one that does them. I'm no better than anybody else. Say, oh, that's arrogance. No, I honestly meant it. I'm a sinner. Now, I wasn't guilty of what they were accusing me of, but I give them a list. It's true. Y'all doing okay? Organize so you can think under fire. When the emergencies really do come, then you'll be able to think. Next, set your eyes on the purpose. Hurt feelings and boo-boos and little firefights need to be ignored. Just because you scraped your knee doesn't mean all of life has to stop. Just because you got a boo-boo doesn't mean that all of life has to stop. Good night, as my dad would say, rub some dirt on it and keep on going, amen? You're only made out of dirt anyway. Dirt's good for a cut. Amen, Brother Mike? Get the grease out, put the dirt on, and keep on going, amen? Yeah, buddy, put a little concrete on that puppy. It'll dry up. It'll stop the bleeding in a hurry, amen? Just ask the mafia. Anyway. And lastly, my favorite point. You ready? survivors have an attitude that you're always going to make it. Some of you give up way too soon. Say, when should I give up, Brother Bush? When you go, oh, for the last time. Amen. I don't plan on giving up anything. Some of you look at the casualties around you and you're ready to give up. Some of you look to this side and see a casualty of a friend, and you see a casualty of a friend. You see a blown up body there, and you say, I'm just going to give up. It makes me mad, makes me want to fight more. Amen. Doggone it, I've seen enough casualties in life. I've not given up. I'm going to fight harder. Amen. I get tired of the devil winning. Yes. Why don't you fight for their honor rather than give up and die beside them? I hear a pizza. Oh, maybe I'd change it to steaks now that I got a grill. Amen. hey, I'm on to something on that one. Amen. Honey, write that one down. I need to remember that one. Can I tell you something? Some of you look around at the casualties around you and you just want to lay down and die with them. Why don't you stand up and fight for their honor? Why not? The devil's gotten enough. Why do you want to lay down beside him and be a POW and let the devil win? If one of my brethren in arms lays down in death, I'm going to pick up the standard and fight for him, not lay down and die with him. And as I said last Sunday morning, when Dr. Jack Hiles died, I didn't. It was my turn to step up and say, it's time to fight a little harder. Somebody's got to pick up the slack. The general died. I might not be a 5-star, but I'm enlisted and I got a rifle that shoots. Amen? Amen. I might not lead as many, but guess what? We're going to battle. I'm going to make a statement here. Some of you have given up and caused others to become a casualty because you quit fighting. General Patton said, a man with a weapon that's not firing is disloyal. If you got a weapon in your hand and it's got bullets and you're not squeezing the trigger, you're disloyal because you're causing somebody else harm. I like that. Well, guess what? That old book right there never runs out of bullets. Just keep on pulling the trigger, honey, because it's going to fire. Brother Buck, I decided a long time ago I'm just going to keep on pulling the trigger. If it jams, we'll unjam it and we'll keep on pulling the trigger. Some of you are causing your brethren to die in battle because you won't pull the trigger. Some of you in your fear cause others to become casualties because you won't squeeze the trigger. Well, I see that person and they didn't make it, and I see that one that didn't make it, and I got that friend over there that didn't make it. Pull the trigger. Amen. Get the stupid idiot that did it, amen? Fire at the devil. Amen. I got one more get up than the devil's got knocked down. How about you? You want to be a survivor? Or you want to roll over and die? I don't know about you. Death is coming fast enough, amen? Why do I want to hurry it up? I'm not guaranteed another day. I'm not guaranteed another breath. I'm going to fight with every fiber I've got. I am not about to let the devil win. Guess what? I read the last chapter. We won. Take charge, my brethren. We've already got the victory. Let's go claim it. The average Christian is like the 10 spies, not Joshua and Caleb. Oh, the giants are big, the land is beautiful, but we can't do it. And you're wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years doing nothing. Watching everybody die around you, getting discouraged, wishing you were back in Egypt, looking backwards. Say why? Because you didn't charge. Charge. I didn't enlist in the United States military. I had a higher calling. I got in God's army. But may I say this, had I think I could have been a pretty good soldier. Say why? Because I got no give up in me. Amen. I decided I'd fight for an eternal army. I respect our men. I really do. I love our military. I really, really, really do. I believe in our military. I was at Dunkin' Donuts the other day, a couple weeks ago, and there was a police officer right behind me, or right ahead of me. He had ordered, and I stepped forward and I said, "Ma'am, just put his on my bill." He said, "No, sir, you can't do that." I said, no, it's fine. I'll tell you." He said, "Sir, I can't do that." I said, "No, really." I said, "I want to pay for it." He said, "Sir," and he grabbed me. I thought, "Uh-oh, this is not a good thing, amen." He said, "You don't understand. I'm not allowed to let you do that." He said, "I appreciate your kindness." He said, "But that could be interpreted as a bribe, and I cannot do that by a law. I'm not allowed." I said, "Excuse me." I said, "That was not my purpose." He said, "I know that." He said, "I appreciate it, though." Let me ask you a question. You going to roll over and die, or are you going to be a survivor? Why do you want to be a POW the rest of your life? I don't know about you. There might be times the devil's near and he might have me, but guess what? I'm going to escape. I'm going to turn and fight. Say, "Well, I might die, but I'm going to die with guns blazing." Amen. I'm not going to turn around and shoot my comrades. I'm going to shoot the enemy. I'm going to know who the enemy is and point it their way. It's our job to set the POWs free, by the way. Many of you know POWs. I'll not use a name. Early this afternoon, I was here. My family was here. A man came into our church building. He said, "Heard about it. By the way, if somebody found out about it, they might be upset with him." He said, "I just had to see you, Brother Bush." He said, "Would you pray for me?" You better believe I will. Amen. Discouraged, down, brokenhearted, loved on him. Say, what is that? POW, need set free. Amen. Knew where to come to get love, amen. Amen. Knew where to come to get somebody to pray for him. Knew where to come where revival was cutting loose. Guess what? That's our job. You might not make it, but I promise you one thing, this guy's going to. Right. Say, "You're arrogant." No, I just have been at it a long time. I'm not giving up. Amen. And when this ugly old body's laying in a casket that I thought they brought out this morning, when this old body lays in a casket, just know one thing, I didn't give up. Right. I didn't give up. I'm going down fighting. Amen. And I might go down, but guess what? Then it'll be my time. That's all there is to it. Just remember, there's no discharge in this war. As long as you're still sucking air, you're fighting the devil if you're saved. Don't care how young or how old, you're fighting the devil. And the battle will not stop. "Oh, I just wished it was over." It's not going to end. You might as well enjoy the fight. You might as well enjoy it, or you're going to be a POW watching from a spot you don't want to be at. Because if the devil gets a hold of you, it's not real kind. He doesn't care. God does. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know what it is in your life that is discouraging you. I don't know what it is in your life that would hold you back, but some of you need to decide. You're re-enlisting, and you're coming out of the POW camp, and you're going to fight. You're just going to give it all you got. Say, "I'm older. I don't have what I used to have," but you still got a gun. Keep on pulling the trigger. Amen.